The pasuk for us. So, you know, Unklus, which really controls this discussion here, says Vachamushim is Mizarzin. And Rashi develops that idea when he says Mizuyanim, that they were armed. And then there's an expansion in Rashi in the brackets. There's some question as to whether this really belongs in the manuscript. But basically, that passage in Rashi says, why was it important for them to be armed? Why was it important for them to have all manner of provisions? Because, after all, they weren't going on a short trip. They were going Derech HaMidbar Yam Suf. Okay? And then you saw the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra develops this point further, and he says, well, the very fact that they were armed, right, what did that establish, Eitan? Well, that's, you know, sort of tautological. By definition, if you're armed, they have weapons. But, Sariel, what's the point?
That they were like sleeves.
They weren't kavadim habarachim, but this is what it means. Yatsu b'nei Yisrael b'yad ramah. Yad ramah means that they had strength. So there's kind of a tension here. On the one hand, what we developed all day yesterday was the idea that, frankly, God understood their weakness. Peni nacheman b'rasan milchama. Unkla says, Yizun, they would have trembled. And, you know, there's that fear. On the other hand, right, the notion of them having arms and them having provisions is certainly an image of them at least beginning to take responsibility for themselves. Right? Making sure that they're prepared for the journey, making sure that they're going to be able to encounter whatever comes, you know, in their path. And Ibn Ezra goes so far as to say that this is a reflection of the fact that they weren't Avadim Borchim, but they were those who went out Biyad Ramah. They were those about whom you could say that they went out with strength and with courage and with some degree of force. But if that were really true, then there's a fundamental paradox here. If they had arms, right, and they're not Avadim HaBorchim, but they're Yad Ramah, Benny, what's the paradox? Why would then God need to take them Derech HaMidbar Yam Suf? What's so bad about the path which is the logical path, Derech Plishtim Ki Karovu, as the Ramban said, that would be the natural way to go. So let's take a look over at the Sforno, what I specifically held back on. And the Sforno actually resolves this issue, I think, in a very fundamental and far-reaching way. Shua, take a look at the Sforno for us. So first, the Sforno, again, reiterates what he said yesterday, Derech HaMidbar Yam Suf, that there is no traffic there, so nobody's going to come and tell the Egyptians what's going on, because if there's traffic, then people will come back and tell Paro, and he'll undoubtedly chase after the Jewish people. So this is the Vachamushim Alu, last three lines of that Sforno. Go ahead, Shua. V'chol zahutrach la'asos afal pishayu mizuyanim. He accepts Targum Unklus, as understood by Rashi, as understood by the Ibn Ezra as well, that they were armed. Kim kol kli zaynam lo hayo lahem. You can arm people to the teeth. You can give people hundreds of millions of dollars in military assistance. You can give them F-16s. But there's an absolute prerequisite to being able to fight. And what is that? You have to have a will to fight. And they lack that amitsu talev, that sense of courage, right? That chazak ve'ematz. Kim kol klizaynam. This is a lesson in life. Lo hayalahem ometz lev li lachem b'mitzrayim. They lacked, bluntly speaking, the courage to stand up to the Egyptians. So outwardly, yeah, sure, they were armed. But David, does being armed mean that you're prepared to fight? No. I mean, if you remember that opening scene in Sefer Yoshua, what was it that Rachav told those two Meraglim? Yeah, we've got a wall. Yeah, we've got incredible intelligence services who figured out that you were here within like 60 seconds. Yeah, we've got, you know, Rechav Barzel. But what don't we have, Aiden? We have no will to fight. She talks about Yimas Lev Ha'am, that the hearts of the people had just melted. And with that, and by the way, it's an Issur D'Oraisa, from Sefer Dvarim, that Ki Seitzei L'Melchama L'Evecha Yirach L'Vavchem, Al Tiru V'Al Tartzu V'Al Techbezu. You're not allowed to be afraid. It's an Issur D'Oraisa. You look at the Rambam Hilchos Melachim, he paskins it. A person is not allowed to be afraid. A person has to overcome whatever sense of fear they might have, naturally, in a martial context. And so the Sforno, I think, puts his finger on the heart of the issue. V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Yitzrayim was absolutely true. And as Rashi says, it explains a lot, because otherwise, l'sabir esa ozen. Otherwise, how else did they have weapons to fight against Amalek, and then eventually later on with Sichon and Og and whoever it was. They had to have weapons from somewhere, but that's not enough. You can arm people, but if they don't have the will to fight, it doesn't make a difference in the world. And so once again, the beginning of Bishalach highlights this sense of fragility and weakness. But it goes even deeper than that in Kivi Isaiah. Just give me a minute to develop the point one step further. Because what was the second pshat that Rashi said, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim? If we're talking about a scared and frightened group of people, Rashi, of course, quotes the Medrash, which says what? Only 20% even got out. We're talking about the best of the bunch. And I'll tell you a secret. According to the original Medrash that Rashi is quoting from, this is not Rashi's original idea, but if you look at the original Medrash, Rashi's actually quoting the most optimistic point of view. Because the two other views quoted in that Medrash say, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael, not one out of five, but it means one out of 50. Echad mechamishim, 2%, or echad mechamish meos, 0.2%. So what we're really talking about is the fraction of the Jewish people, however many people actually got out, they were still terrified. It wasn't as if their sense of bitachon was so great, right? It wasn't like God's bar for letting the Jews out was so high that you had to have perfect bitachon. We're talking about a deep state of brokenness. And the only way for us to understand and for us to appreciate this is, of course, to understand, not to blame God forbid, but to understand what? That if even those deserving of being taken out of Egypt, right, were basically in a crisis of confidence, that can only be attributed to what? The torture that they had endured for generations. This is a generation of people that has sustained the most extensive intergenerational suffering. And there's a very important point here. You can take people out of slavery, but that doesn't mean that you can necessarily take the slave out of people. You can change somebody's geographical location, Benny, with relative ease. But you know what's much harder to do in this world is to change something fundamental about a person. And that fundamental thing could be based on genetics, it could be based on experience. V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim is not contra the Ibn Ezra, some kind of a testament to their inherent strength. Though they're not like Avadim Haborim, it's Yad Ramah. Because as the Sforno points out, if that were really true, which way would they have gone up? Derech Eretz Plishtim, Ki Karovu. I'm not suggesting that it was a fait accompli. I'm not suggesting that it was a guarantee that this generation could not have overcome this. We know in the end they didn't. Both the Chet HaEgel and the Chet HaMeraglim, fundamentally, what's the Tzad HaShava between those two sins? What does it really boil down to? In a word, What do the people do in both cases? Panic. Who panics? What kind of person panics? A person that in an underlying sense, right, is somebody who, you know, is really scared. I'm not saying that they couldn't have overcome it, but I'm saying it was a very tall order, and that if you read the beginning of Bishalach carefully, you see that. You know, and it's easy to say, in hindsight, say, oh, well, you know, shouldn't the people who would eventually see Kriyas Yamsuf and the Man and Mamad Har Sinai, you know, the Anane Kavod, shouldn't that they have been able to sort of get over it? It's easy to say that if you're not there. But when you're dealing with people who for not just years or decades, but generations had been oppressed and enslaved, it's not so easy to change that in the space of a year, no matter how amazing and remarkable the miracles are, right? These are very fast-moving events. And so what I think is incredibly striking, Avi, is that we're not talking about here the dregs of society, but who are we talking about? These were the people that deserved to get out of Egypt. The people that had demonstrated some measure of faith and courage. And a willingness to break with Egyptian society in the midst of Karban Pesach. And yet there was still an enormous, enormous uphill battle to climb. There's a machlokes in the Mishnah at the end of Masech the Sanhedrin about the Dor HaMidbar. Between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva takes a very harsh position. Rabbi Akiva says they don't have a chelak in Olam Haba. They saw so much of God's glory and they turned their backs on God. And Rabbi Eliezer, his Rebbe, said, you know, Rabbi Akiva, it's uncharacteristic of you. Shav ke Akiva lechasiduse. Akiva, you left your generosity of spirit, so to speak, behind. And he refers to them as kedoshim asher ba'aretz hema ve'adire kolchat zivom. Rabbi Eliezer says, of course they have a portion in the world to come. You have to have some degree of sympathy for who these people were and what they had been through. And their inability to overcome that underlying sense of anxiety and panic about what was going on around them can't be fully held against them. It ends up being, indeed, a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Sariel. But again, Rashi is just endorsing the view of the Targum that Vachamushim indeed means Mizuyanim, that they were armed, Mizarzin, that they were not only armed in a military sense, but they had provisions. So you saw that, you know, some kind of a beginning of taking responsibility for themselves. Katie?
You mentioned it was the Isser D'Oraisa to be scared to go to war. And how come when they saw the war, they said, like, said anyone who's.
Right, you know, that's also machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Is it Tvarim Kipshutam? Is it Yare Me'averu Shebiyado? But the bottom line is that once we've weeded those people out, you know, then everybody else has to, you know, be able to overcome. Yeah, Emmanuel. I think you're making a big assumption. How many people really fought? What does Moshe say to Yehoshua? With this is like some mass, you know, military campaign? Bichar lanu anashim. What's the simple pshat there, Shimon? It's a select few. Right? A fraction from within this fraction were prepared to fight. And I think that's exactly what this Svarno is saying here, that al pirov, they lacked ometz halev. You know, everybody wants to say, okay, well, you know, whatever happened, happened, and it's all over now, and, you know, we're turning a new page, and it's a fresh leaf, etc., etc. But, Eitan, that's not the way life works. You know, people's past matters. It just doesn't go away. And this is a complicated generation. And God knew that about them from the very beginning. V'lo nacham elokim, derech eretz plishtim. Ki amar elokim, peni nachem abirisam milchama. And as the Svarno says, you can arm them to the teeth externally, but if the amitzas halev isn't there, not worth a dime. They might as well not have any weapons. They're just going to throw them down and run anyway. A fundamental insight into the human character, into the human spirit. Questions? So again, the Rambam is taking the position, Mi ha'ish ha'yare v'rach ha'levav, is to be understood literally, She'ein b'libo koach lamod b'kishrei ha'melchama. He's like, it's not a nice word, but I'm not going to say the word. It's not that he's a coward. He lacks the courage to fight. U'me'achar she'ikane sadem b'kishrei ha'melchama, and after we've weeded out those people, Yisho'ein al mikveh Yisrael u'moshio be'es tzara, he shall put his faith in he who is the aspiration of Israel. Right? And he who saves them during their times of distress. V'yeda shal yichad Hashem hu oseh milchama. That the only reason a Jew ever goes to war, as we say, Shema Yisrael, atem krevim hayom la'milchama la'vechem, is for the glory of God's name. V'yasim nafsho b'chapo, v'lo yira v'lo yifached. And he shall take his life in his hands, and he shall not be afraid or scared. V'lo yachshov lo v'ishto v'lo b'bana v'lo yimacha zichra milibo v'yifanem b'kol dvar l'milchama. He shouldn't think, oh, I wouldn't want to do that, to try to get back home, the family. Should focus solely on the battle. V'chol ha'machzol lachshov l'hara b'milchama. And anybody who allows himself to start thinking these thoughts, umav yil atzmo, to the point where, again, behala, behilu, he gets himself into a state of panic. Over below sase shenemar al yirach levavchem al tiru al tachmazu al tartzu mipneihem. Vilo od, and not only is he violent nisa daraisa, but elisha kol demei Yisrael teluyin bitzavaro, that all of the blood of Israel is on his neck. Vim lo nitzeach vilo asa milchama b'chol libo uv'chol nafsho. Here the Rambam is again channeling the language of Kriyat Shema. B'chol levo v'chol nefesh. It's as if he spilled the blood of the entire Jewish people. Shenemar v'lo yimas es levavechav kilvavo. V'arei mefurash b'kabal arur semelechas Hashem rimiya arur monei acharbo midam, based on the pasuk in Yirmiyah Memchas. V'chol anilcham b'chol libo b'lo pachad. But a person who shows no fear, tiyaka v'naso l'kadesh Hashem bilvad, to wage war on God's behalf and in sanctification of God's name, that he will not experience any damage nor any harm. And he who was able to push away the thought of his family will ultimately merit a bayis nachon bi Yisrael. He will be well, and his family shall be well. That's what Avigail said to David. Kimel chamos Hashem Adoni nocham, v'ra lo simatze b'cham yamecha, v'aysa nefesh Adoni tzura b'tzura hachayim, es Hashem Elokecha. So there you have it. Okay, we'll pick it up here, and we'll, God willing, continue tomorrow.